The following podcast is for information purposes only and is not suitable for retail investors.
Hello and welcome to this week's Chart of the Week podcast. Today is Thursday, the 2nd of February, and I'm once again joined by Lorenzo Laposta. This week, Lorenzo and I, as we do most weeks, we're looking at the Momentum Risk Aversion Index, which gives an indication of the appetite for risk in markets. And over the past few months, to some people's surprise, the index has fallen quite steadily from a two-year high back late last year to a more normalized level, just above its long-term average. So, Lorenzo, before we go into what this means for markets, why don't you explain how we actually measure risk?
Hello, Ben, and thanks very much for having me, as always. It's always a pleasure to be here speaking with you. And as you say, measuring risk in markets is not obvious, simply because there is no one universally accepted definition of risk, and especially there is no unique way of measuring it. So one of the many ways we look at risk is that of risk aversion and risk appetite in markets. We try and understand whether global markets across all asset classes are seeking risk assets or whether they're steering away from those, which gives you an idea of what their expectation is for the immediate future. And we get that metric by looking at a variety of different market implied measures and within different asset classes. For example, we look at implied volatilities in the option market, cross FXs, fixed income and equities, but we also look at more market-based measures such as the performance perhaps of precious metals against industrial metals or credit spreads or put-call ratios. We look at a variety of things, and with those we try and extract the common component, that is that of risk appetite.
Okay, so given certain challenging conditions that we see in markets today, for example, we still have the ongoing war in Ukraine, we have a heavily inverted yield curve suggesting there's certainly a high risk of recession in the near future. Why then do you think we've seen risk levels fall over the past couple of months?
Well, probably I'm repeating myself in all our weekly podcasts because I keep repeating the same story. Markets look forward. Markets don't think about the next week only, but they think about the next weeks and months and years, and everything is discounted back to present. So what's changed from 3 months ago? I guess the big difference is that the outlook is a lot better. The current conditions are still equally bad, or maybe only marginally better, but the outlook has changed substantially, because back in October, markets were down some 20%+, the winter was just arriving in the northern hemisphere, energy prices had been going down, but they were still significantly higher than average. The war was creating further problems, inflation was still not under control, and central banks were hiking rates massively. What's changed since there has simply been the expectation of the future for all these dynamics. Inflation is now expected to come back to normal levels in not too long a period. Central banks are expected to reduce their hikes, and some are even expected actually to be cutting rates to stimulate the economy. Winter turned out to be milder than usual, at least so far in the northern hemisphere. So, many of the things that scared us back in October actually turned out to be a bit better than expected. And markets moved substantially on the back of that. They moved from an extremely risk-averse behavior to a fair, I guess, an average type of risk appetite.
Okay, so it's clear that market expectations and the market's appetite for risk in general can change quite significantly in quite a short space of time. But why is it so important for us as investors to be aware and to understand what's causing these changes and where the risk level currently is at?
Well, Ben, 100%, as you say, risk appetite changes dramatically and also fast whenever important things happen. And so you ask, why is that important to know? Well, simply because underpins asset prices across all countries, all industries, and all asset classes. Risk or expected risk, the willingness of financial markets to embrace risk in the future is what drives positioning, and positioning drives prices. The required rates of return in certain asset classes are all dictated by the type of risk you have to bear when holding that asset. So understanding what markets are expecting in terms of risk is of utmost importance and allows you to frame your expectations, let's say, around a common benchmark.
Okay, so given how unpredictable risk levels are, if you told many onlookers 6 months ago that with recession expectations rising and with winter approaching and gas prices through the roof, that actually the risk appetite would be a lot better than it was at the time, I think many people would be surprised. So if risk is so difficult to predict, and if it is so important for a lot of asset pricing, how can investors deal with this unpredictability?
Well, unpredictability is something you'll never escape. And that is why in the first place, you get rewarded for holding riskier assets into your portfolios. Risk cannot be eliminated. It can only be managed along the way. So, you know, we'd argue as an investor, you have to evaluate two things. What risks are into your portfolio, and, you know, whether you're willing to hold them or not, and then how to mix them together to minimize, I guess, the overall risk you're carrying. Because it's complicated not only to understand what the current risk levels are, but also where they're going and what the impact is going to be on asset classes. If it was easy, you know, we wouldn't have jobs, I guess. But most importantly, you know, once you build an idea around those metrics, which is still going to be an uncertain answer to that question, because you will know whether your risk estimates were right only after the events happen. So, you know, the best way of managing risk along the way, on top of obviously holding the risks that you believe are you're being paid enough for, then you want to blend them together into multi-asset, multi-strategy portfolios and extract all of the benefits that come from diversifying return streams, diversifying macroeconomic drivers, and effectively lower your overall portfolio volatility without giving up any returns along the way. And as we often say, you know, diversification is the only free lunch you get in the investments community.
Well, Lorenzo, as always, thank you very much for the fantastic insight, and looking forward to talking next week.
Thank you, Ben, and speak soon.
For professional advisors only. The views expressed are those of Momentum Global Investment Management at the time of recording and are subject to change without notice. Momentum Global Investment Management has used all reasonable efforts to ensure the accuracy of the information contained in this communication, but we cannot guarantee the reliability, completeness, or accuracy of the content. This podcast is for information purposes only and does not constitute investment advice or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell. Momentum Global Investment Management, company registration number 3733094, has its registered office at the Rex Building, 62 Queen Street, London, EC4R1EB. Momentum Global Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority in the United Kingdom, registration number 232357, and is exempt from the requirements of Section 7(1) of the Financial Advisory and Intermediary Services Act 37 of 2002 in South Africa, in terms of the FSCA FAIS Notice 141 of 2021, published on the 15th of December 2021. For complaints relating to Momentum Global Investment Management's financial services, please contact distribution services at momentum.co.uk. Your capital is at risk.